From Schwartz. It's beautiful to get together on such a cold night. It really shows the hishtadlus and the chashivas that the community gives towards enhancing our understanding and our observance of Shmiras HaMitzvos. In particular, this difficult area of halacha is really a chus for us. And Emir Tashem, our learning together will enhance our shalom bayis, will enhance our havana, our understanding of this difficult area, and will enhance our communal achdus and shalom amongst all of us. I'm happy to take any questions, and also if anything comes up afterwards, feel free to speak to me, to Rabbi Schwartz, Rabbi Herman, or whomever your postdoc is. One of the most important yesodos, the foundational idea of Taras HaMishpacha as somebody who's married, is you need to have somebody to speak to. Sometimes the Har Chakos, something new comes up, a new situation you haven't been in. Even if you've been married for 15, 20 years, something new can come up. How do I address the situation? And so it's important to have somebody that you can turn to, not to feel uncomfortable. It's not anything that anybody should feel embarrassed about. Kachi darka shel olam, every month, a healthy woman becomes a nida. And so we have to know how to interact with our wives, how we go through that period of the year, of the month. My Rebbe Rav Willig always said, you ask a shayla, so the woman is the most machmir, and the husband wants to be less machmir, and the rav is the most mekil. A person has to know that you have the opportunity to understand, well, how can we find a kula here? And it's not because we want to be progressive, it's not because we want to be lenient and we don't want to be makbin on every area of halacha kichah hasara, but it's because shalom bayis is important. And so you should know that if you ask a shayla, you're not going to get a knee-jerk no. There are women, unfortunately, who don't ask shaylas because they're uncomfortable and they end up being more machmir. That does a lot to destroy the shalom bayis. It's important to ask shayla when it comes up. So what are Har Chakos all about? So Chazal understood, as the Rush, as the Aruch HaShulchan quotes from the Rush, that a person has this comfortable relationship. In other areas of Arayos, we want to stay far away. We have an Isur Yichud. We're not even allowed to be in the same room. So Mir Tashem, if you're not in the same room, so nothing can happen because there's no seclusion. You're never going to have a private moment where something can happen. But it's not the case with Ishto Nida. Your wife is a Nida, we're allowed to sleep in the same house, we're allowed to sleep in the same bedroom. But she's also to us. So how do we understand this? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains, Yadoa Shanida hi kukhol ha'arayos, it's like every other arayos in the Torah, but we're more makel. There's some chumros. You're not allowed to pass something to your wife, which is something that would be mutter to any other woman in the world. You're not allowed to touch your woman, your wife, even without not lovingly. You touch, you bump into somebody, you pass something, you accidentally touch somebody, another woman's hand. It's not aser d'oraisa. It's a mistake. But to put yourself into a situation where you can pass something to your wife and you may come to touch it, that itself is aser only for a woman, for your wife, for when she's in nida. So there's some chumras and there's some kulas. Why? How do we understand this? So Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Rush and says that we need to be misrachei ketzas mibala b'dvarim she'efsha ki ha-Torah asur yichud shal kol ha-arayos. The Torah forbade a yichud, seclusion with all the arayos. Gam nidu hi bekaris kishar kol ha-arayos. So it sounds like, so elisha ha-davar kashal hizar mi yichud ishto nida. It's impossible. But we're going to go and live in a different house when our wives are in Nida, umatsu remez min hamikra lahatir. So Chazal found a way of being matir. It sounds very progressive. And Chazal is because we don't want to inconvenience a husband, so we're going to create a kula. Imagine if every time you came and asked a shayla, you said, I really want to do this. Can you find, and Rabbi Schwartz found some way to be lenient in every situation. It's not, unfortunately, it's not the way halacha works. And if it did happen, there'd probably be a problem with the person you're asking. We don't accommodate every situation, every situation that comes up. So how do we understand it? It's so comfortable. We're used to having our wives in our lives, in our house, next to us, at our sides at all times. And so to prevent anything from happening, because there's such a level of comfort, so we need to draw a geder. We need to have a siyag. Rav Willig once compared it to a person. How many people went on vacation in the past month? A bunch of people. Some people might have gone to the Grand Canyon. But there's a fence at the edge of the Grand Canyon. Because if you don't want to get too close, somebody is going to end up going too far. And so Chazal understood there's such a level of familiarity within our homes, which is wonderful and beautiful and necessary, but there needs to be a geder, some sort of protection that protects us from going too far. And so therefore, since we have already had a relationship with our wives for quite a while, it's not the same as somebody who's any of the other arayos that are always prohibited to us be'isr yichud. So the system exists to protect us. But, says the Rush, we found a heter. Suge shoshanim, just even a fence made up of roses, something delicate, not something that's significant. That itself is enough just to remind us, to make it to create a cognizance and an awareness, a mindfulness, that this is something that I can't do. And that little geder, that siag, that harchaka, is enough to remind us. So we don't, there's some kulas, and there are some chumras. So most of the all of the halachos that relate to chumra, to harchakos, can be found in Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei in the Shulchan Aruch. And it's interesting because they're in Kuf Tzadi Hei, but you're not going to find them beferish in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say these are the harchakos, as it does say about many of the other halachos pertaining to Hilchos Nida. So why is this? So the answer is that these are things that are siyagim, the Chazal created. They're not beferish. Some of them were learned out from stories in the Gemara. Others were chumras harchakos that were created by Rishonim. So each of them carry with it a different level of weight, I would say, which allows us, as we paskin, to apply certain kulos. Because if it wasn't something that was stated explicitly in the Gemara, so we have the right to, under certain extenuating circumstances, a shas adchak, a tzorech gadol, we're able to dispense with certain harchakos. I'd just like to, before we get into the nitty-gritty, the meat of it, I'd like to, as a fellow mental health professional, it is important for us to understand as husbands that this is an area of halacha that really, as Rabbi Schwartz said, this is really the meat and potatoes of how we interact with Taras HaMishpacha. The rest of it is on a woman's shoulders. She has to know how to do bedikos properly. She has to know how to prepare for the mikveh properly, what chatzitos are, how to be tovelis properly, where to go, which mikveh does she feel comfortable with. There's a lot that goes into it. And it's important for us to understand how significant and sometimes how anxiety-provoking that whole process can be. And we're removed from it. We're not necessarily aware of all of the minutiae, all of the pratim of how a woman prepares for the mikvah. Rabbi Neuberger started the series last night, and Meretz Hashem shall continue next week. And she'll get into everything that's shayach for women. But we need to be supportive. We need to be there, and we can't be distant. We need to say, you know, if there's something that we can do to make that those hachanos, those preparations, a little bit easier mentally, whether it's taking the kids out so that a woman can do her chafifa benachas, everything should be benachas. The more that you can do to help her out, the better off it'll be. But even prior to the Leil Tefillah, the time that a woman is in Nida is very often fraught with tension because there's a lot of just tension between a husband and wife. You're not as close as you want to be, as you should be, as you feel you normally are. And so it creates tension. It's important to realize that. If something comes up, if you're maybe you're more prone to arguments, so that's normal. But you need to keep that in mind and then shift back to, okay, so I can't be with her physically, but at least emotionally there needs to be a connection. You need to go out of your way to show her the love and the affection, the emotional connection that really is so critical to the longevity of the relationship. So the Shulchan Aruch begins, Chayav Adam Lifresh Me'ishto B'Yemei Tumas B'Tumasa Ad She'Tispor V'Titpol. So there is no difference, and the Gemara brings up this case, the Gemara in Shabbos, talks about a person The Gemara in Shabbos talks about a person, Tanei Devei Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaNavi said, teaches us, this is an Agada, and this is really the crux of where we learn many of our harachakos from. Maisa b'talmid echad, sheshana harbe v'kara harbe. A person was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He spent Yom HaValayla, he was learning a lot. He spent a lot of time in the Beis Medrash. V'shimesh talmidei chachamim harbe. And not only that, he didn't just sit in the back, but he was up front, he was hocking it up, he was enjoying, he had a relationship with his Rebbe. U'meis b'chatzi yamav. And Rachman al-Atzlan, he was nifter, he died at a very young age. V'haisa ishtar noteles tefila v'machzerasim b'vati knesios v'vati midrashos and Nebuchar, his almana, his widow, took his tefillin and she went from shul to shul and base medrash to base medrash. The Amar Lehem, and she would ask the people who were there, K'siv b'Torah hu chayach, ki hu chayach v'orech yamecha. When a person learns Torah, so they're promised that they're going to have a long life. So what happened? She doesn't understand it. So what would you tell such a person? If you're smart, we don't know. These are not answers that these are not questions that we know the answers to. But then she met Eliyahu HaNavi. Hamachas nisarachti yetzla, so Eliyahu says, I was with her once. V'haysa misicha kolosa me'ora. So she told me, she went through the same soliloquy all over again. It's still on her mind. V'amarti lo, and I asked her, biti bimeini dosecha mahu etzlecha. So when you were in Nida, what was your relationship like? Amra li, she said to me, So she says back, there was no relationship, nothing illicit happened. I didn't even touch, there wasn't even casual contact. Right? When the Gemara says that, it's really referring to casual contact, which according to Rav Moshe, it's a whole discussion about whether you can shake the hand of a woman, let's say, in the workplace. So that isn't necessarily asur d'oraisa. It's not even, we should try to avoid it if you can. But with your wife, that kind of interaction, even casually, is asur. So she says, even that didn't happen. So b'meili v'nechamahu etzlecha. Aye, but what about when you were in the Shiva Nikiyim? You were counting, you spoke last week, Rabbi Herman spoke about the Shiva Nikiyim. So during that, as you're getting closer to the Leil Tevila, what was your relationship like there? So we ate together, we drank together, we laid together in the same bed closely. But nothing went further. He never had the idea of committing the Maisa Avera. And Eliyahu responds, it's a good thing that he was taken. Amra Torah didn't respect the spirit of the law. Because the Torah tells us that Elisha ben Idas tumasa lo sikarif. Person is not allowed to come close. So what is the opposite of coming close? Is the harchakos. So what do we learn out from this type of, from this Gemara? What things are specifically mentioned? Casual touching, casual contact. Achila, shesia, and yishin bekir basar. So all those things form the crux of the harchakos that we classify together as the harchakos. So the mechaber says v'lo yischok v'lo yakel rosh ima. You shouldn't even have schok v'kalos rosh. So what does that mean? Schok v'kalos rosh. So there are some poskim will say this is not in our community, but schok v'kalos rosh could be even playing board games. There's a famous shaila that can be applied to several harchakos. But about whether a husband and wife can play tennis, can play ping pong. So if you're not allowed to pass, maybe it's considered playing together. So one posik said, what do you mean? How do you even get to that point? Because it's a problem of schofa kalas rosh. You shouldn't be playing. We don't apply that to our communities. We think it's important. If you have the opportunity to, if playing a game of bananagrams, of Monopoly, whatever it may be, is an opportunity to reconnect emotionally, so go for it. Definitely do it. But the schok akalas rosh, right? The Mishnah says in Avos is it removes a person from this world. So it's that type of frivolity that a person can lose themselves and can lose the focus of what kind of relationship they're supposed to be having in that time. So that's the kind of schok. That's the kind of interaction that's asur. But just to shmooze is encouraged. You need to be able to continue to have a relationship together. Say under the chuppah, reyim ahuvim. So there's a different kind, at different times of the month. So at some point, the relationship should be reyim, should be friendly. In others, it's ahuvim. It's a deeper, more loving, more intimate relationship. The Shach points out that it's only words, discussions that would lead to erva that is going to be a problem. So what about saying, I love you? So it depends how a person says, I love you. If you're sitting at the table and you have the hecker there, but you're gazing intently into each other's eyes and you say it, softly, I love you. So that obviously is something that should be, that's going to be usher, because that's going to lead, that's a type of schok, and in Kalas Rosh, it's a frivolity that is inappropriate for that part of the month. So the Mechaber tells us, lo yistakel, you shouldn't look. Person shouldn't look. You're not supposed to look at the parts of her body that are normally covered. So what does this mean? The Rama says, "Avol mutar lehistakel ba b'mekomos hagaluyim afal pishenena b'riyasa." So there's a certain way of dress that a woman may have when she goes outside, and there's another way of dress that a woman may have when she's home. So she may, her sleeves may not go all the way down to her elbows when she's home. She may wear a t-shirt. It's not exposing her torso or exposing her legs above from her thighs or above. But a part of her body that she would normally not be so makbid on covering at home, so that part of the body a husband is allowed to see. And the Mechaber says it's not just about looking, right? Normally we're not allowed to look at a woman who's dressed immodestly in Shara Rayos, but here with your wife, it's yistakel. You're able to look at her, and the Rama says that you're even able to get hanah from looking at the areas that are commonly uncovered. Rav Moshe says that if she doesn't cover her hair when she's at home, she's also allowed to leave her hair uncovered at this time. And he refers to pajamas, any type of leisure clothing, the kinds of clothes that you wouldn't necessarily see in somebody else's house if you went to somebody else's house, but somebody that you, as your husband, as a spouse, would see this. So, what about the one interesting shaila that comes up is that of the no de Yehuda, where let's say a person goes on vacation and there's no mikvah. There's no mikvah. You go far out, and there isn't even a chabad. And is there such a place? There is one state in the union that does not have a chabad. I believe it's South Dakota. So if you go to South Dakota and you find and your wife happens to be a nidah, which gets into a whole other shaila of the Rama says that a person shouldn't go on vacation, shouldn't go on a intimate type of trip when your wife is a nidah, because it's going to you have a lidei hergel avera. You don't want to bring yourself into a situation if you're on a trip and it's just the two of you. So you want to keep a distance from that. So the no de Yehuda brings a case where let's say you could go on a business trip. So let's say your wife was with you on a business trip and she was a nida and she's ready to go to the mikvah and there's no mikvah or there's no mikvah attendance. So can you be the person who makes sure that there are no chatzitzos, that she's ready to be tovelas? Can you be the mikvah man? So he brings a case from the Sarmi Kutzi that the Sarmi Kutzi was always careful to check his wife before she went to the mikvah. So the Yehuda says it's not a raya because it could be that he checked her after she was tovelas to make sure that there were no chatzitzos afterwards once she was tahora. But there's not necessarily a raya later. Okay, so if that happens, you can be in touch with Rabbi Schwartz or anybody else and figure out how we paskin on that. And generally the problem with the Rama's psak of not going on vacations when your wife is in Nidah is that normally we plan vacations far in advance. Somebody that I know is going to Eretz Yisrael on Monday, they booked their ticket back in September. So it's not easy to predict how things are going to play out, but to the best of your ability, it wouldn't require hefsed mamon it's going to cost you a lot of money to reschedule, or this is the only time that you have vacation, so you can go for it. But to go intentionally on a trip, let's say during the summertime when your wife is in Nida, to go on a romantic stroll in the park, that is something that would not be encouraged because it's just not appropriate during that time. There's also an issur of negia. Lo yiga sif beis, lo yiga ba afilo be'etzba katana, v'lo yoshit miyad, you're not even allowed to touch her be'etzba katana. Casual contact is asur. So it's machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam holds that negia is asur deraisa, and the Ramban says that it's nesmachta, and it's really only asur derabanan. So what about shalobe derachiba, if you're not intending to touch her in a loving kind of way? So the last sif in the simin, it talks about a person whose wife is sick, and he needs to take her pulse. In Bala Rofe, Yosher Limshosh Lal Hadefek. You're not allowed to take her pulse. So this assumes that if there's nobody else around, that if there's somebody else around, that somebody else should do it, because it's better for you not to get onto the shaila of touching her, even shalom b'derech chiba. But in the case of the sakana, and the, according to the Rambam, it would be usher even in a sakana, because it's usher deraisa to touch your wife, even shalom b'derech chiba. But according to the Ramban, which is the way that we paskin, it would be mutter for a person to take his wife's pulse, especially, and this is really how we get into why women are allowed to go to male doctors. Why are there male OBGYNs? Or how can a woman go to a male internist? Because it's shaloba darachiba. But for a woman, when a woman's anida, that type of interaction is even usher to her husband. And that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, based on that case in the Tana Devei Eliyahu, where he says, "I didn't even touch. I feel a beitzba katana." That's where we learn it out from. So the next harchaka within Sif Beis, "V'lo yoshit miyada liyada shum davar." You're not allowed to pass anything from one person to another. So the Rashba quotes two opinions as to why it is that we're not allowed to pass. What's the point of this harchaka? So the one is the chashash that you're going to touch her, right? If you have if something that you want to pass from one person to another, so it happens that you'll come in, there will be casual contact. And casual contact by any other arayos is mutter, is okay. But by ishtonida, it's going to be usur. So we want to prevent that. Number two is general usur. In general, it's usur to pass something because it's a little bit too comfortable. And so preventing a person from passing keeps at the forefront of our mind, my relationship is a little bit different. And to prevent hergel avera, to prevent the hergel that will be yavali de avera, so you're not allowed to pass anything to your wife. Yeah. Right. Right. So you're getting, what you're asking is, ain goes in gzera l'gzera. So we don't normally institute a gzera on top of another, but these are all, there isn't really a formal gzera. A lot of this hoshata was something that is not even quoted in the Gemara. The source is really known, traced back to the Machzor Vitri, who quotes it from his Rebbe Rashi. So hoshata, passing, is really the most makel of all of the harchakos, because it wasn't even from the time of the Gemara. And and even within the Rishonim, not all the Rishonim accepted it. So when it comes to this, Rav Neuberger has a svar, I don't know if he paskins this way, that if Bitzorach Gadol, if a person has something where they wouldn't be able to put down, where they... Huh? The baby is already... he's not Mekil. Rav Willig is Mekil with the baby, based on Rav Avadia, but I don't remember exactly. Rav Neuberger is already Mekil, because he said, and his svar is, because it's only from the Rishonim, and it's not even all the Rishonim, so already we have more room to be Mekil. So getting us to the Ritva says that you can be Mekil with a Shinoi. If you pass her something with the other hand, or behind your back, or over your shoulder, so that would be okay. We don't paskin that way. The Shulchan Aruch is not Mekil in that way. So, but getting to babies. So it would be usher to pass a baby, for just like it would be usher to pass anything else from husband to wife. The Pesach Tshuva quotes a Tashbetz who says that it's mutter because Chai Nosei Yasatzmo. And that's an interesting phrase, because Chai Nosei Yasatzmo refers to a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. Would it be usher to carry a baby, a child, or pass a child on Shabbos when there's no Erev? And the answer is, no, it's not a problem, because Chai Nosei Yasatzmo. Because when you pick up an older child, so they'll tense their body, they'll tense their arms, they'll help you carry them and pass them forward. But we're talking about Hilchos Nida, we're not talking about Hilchos Shabbos. And so many don't accept applying, they say it's just a phrase that the Pesach Tshuva throws out. He doesn't really mean to say that Chai Nosei Yasatzmo, as it applies to Hilchos Shabbos, is going to apply to Hilchos Nida. And so therefore, and furthermore, not every baby jumps. If you're talking about an infant, they're not helping you carry them. Their muscles aren't sufficiently developed. And so it wouldn't be mutter, it would seem, to pass a baby. But Rav Willig always... he's been around the block, and he's seen some people do very foolish things. I think one time he saw a person, they were getting into the car, they were trying to instead of passing the baby from husband to wife, they put her on the top of the, they put the baby on top of the car or on the floor, and you don't want to put, it's just foolish. As in every other area of halacha, a person really needs to use their seichel, you need to use your brain. And if you're going to put your child's life and health and safety in jeopardy, so Rav Willig finds room to be Mekil using this Pesach Tshuva And furthermore, he also says that we have a kula that when a person is a cholesh ein bo sakana, so you can, you're allowed to, we permit, we waive the harchaka of passing. And so a baby is always has the status of a cholesh ein bo sakana. So therefore, to help the baby, even though the baby has that status and not the husband and wife, we apply it to the husband and wife in caring for the cholesh ein bo sakana, and so the person is mekil. It's not a widely accepted kula. Rav Neuberger says it might even be preferable for a person to have the baby leaning or resting on the mother or on the father, and to take the baby off without touching, although it comes to chashash negia. Because very often, if the baby isn't in the perfect perfectly situated to go underneath it, you can end up touching the other, your spouse. So you need to be careful and, you know, use your seichel in each situation of how to get around, how to care for your children properly. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that in which a person asks whether they can waive. This is really the most public, I would say, of all the harchakos. You think about eating together, resting together, schok v'kalas rosh, it's something that most people are not cognizant of. But passing is a, I don't remember who told the story, there was a Baal Simcha, was speaking from a shtender, and he gets up and he realizes that he forgot the text of his speech at his table. And so his wife is sitting directly opposite from him, and she wants to bring him the notes. So normally you'd walk a little bit and she would pass it and give it to him. But she was a nida. So she has to come all the way to the front, put it down on the shtender, and then walk back. So somebody like that is going to be embarrassed. Such a person probably asked Rav Moshe, is it mutter for a person for me to pass something to my husband if I'm going to be embarrassed? Now, it's in front of hundreds of people. So Rav Neuberger said that if a person if she's really going to be mortified and it's going to make her upset and very embarrassed, so he thought that maybe using the kula that it's only the chumrah of the Chumrah of Rashi, in scare quotes for those who are listening online, because it's not widely accepted, so there is room to be mekil. But Rav Moshe didn't like that. Most poskim say, look, tachi darka shalom, it's everybody understands that your wife is going to become a nida, and so to the extent that you can avoid it and find creative ways of how to keep it private, it's okay, but it's not a chisaron, it's not a deficiency in snias for another person watching a husband and wife interact to see that she is benidusa, that she's a nida at the time. Rav Moshe is very stark against it. Now, back in the times of the Gemara, the women used to wear special clothing when they were in nidus. So we don't have that anymore. So already there's a little bit more of a sensitivity towards how a woman conducts herself during this time. The Rama adds that it's also usur for a person to throw. It's also usur to throw something. You can't have a catch. But there is a kula that if a person wants to throw something up, let's say you're trying to get to the car and you want to, there's a kula that you can, the crazy place, he says that you can throw it in to her, let's say her purse. You have keys and you're going into a simcha and you don't want to carry it in your pocket, you can toss it into her purse and that would be okay. Some are not so thrilled with that. But the actually throwing, having a catch would be a problem. So that gets into the question about ping pong and tennis. Some say that the whole point, if you're competitive and you're not just being chivalrous, if you're competitive, you're trying to get it away from her. You don't want her to catch it on the fly. So, perhaps. But if passing is usher, then holding something is also the same. So, young children like to be held by each of their parents with them in the middle and you kind of swing them. That would be usher because you're picking them up. You're holding the same object, namely the child, in a way that is asur. What about something that's very heavy? So the Shach says you can't pass something even if it's very long. What does that mean? Meaning that there's no chance, there's no chashash of negiyah. And so really we only get to the second reason of the Rashba, that the reason that Hoshata is asur is because we were trying to distance ourselves from Hergel Aveira. So the Shach says that you can't even pass something that's very long. But the Rav Avadya Yosefer, it's in Taras Abayis, that if something is very heavy and there's no other way of getting it up, so think about a stroller on Shabbos, you're going up the steps. So if something's very heavy and your child is sleeping, you don't want to wake them up, so there is room to be mekil. Of course, it's up to the host to be proactive and go out and even when she's not in need, try and help your guests with the stroller up the stairs, even if you know, to avoid any embarrassment or any discomfort on anybody's behalf. And you know, certainly if it's just a nice mental thing to do. If the baby is awake, however, of course, it would be preferable for the husband and wife not to carry it up and to tell the kid to come out and then carry it up, you know, bump it up the stairs. Once we've moved past simply passing and carrying, so what? There's some other tangents that come up with regard to Hoshata. The Rav Moshe writes that, what about a husband who's making Havdalah? So obviously we know that you can't pass the Besamim from husband to wife, which can also be a potentially embarrassing thing. So what you might want to do is have somebody else, have one of your children, or have Dafka, that Motzei Shabbos, have somebody else next to you so that it's not as obvious. And it's like, oh, okay, so this week my child will be able to get Besamim. They behaved well over Shabbos, and they deserve to get it before your wife does. You know, and that can happen even when she's not an Nida, so that you can kind of throw people off a little bit. What about the Besamim, passing the Besamim is Aser. Having her smell the Besamim while you're holding it is also Aser, because it's too close to Hergel Avera. For her to benefit from something, to smell something, right? She's not supposed to be smelling her perfume. She shouldn't be smelling the Besamim that he's holding. What about Esther Moshe? What about the light of the Havdalah candle? When you say Bore Me'ore Ha'esh, and let's say he's holding the candle, so can she be Nana from the light that comes from the candle? So he says, Nearly Pashat Demutter, Nira Pashat Teleka Yisr Vizah. And the Pesachei Tshuva says that if husband's smoking, a wife shouldn't light a match, shouldn't light something, they shouldn't share a flame. But, so he says, the Rav Moshe says that's only because the heat creates a chibur. She's directly benefiting from the closeness of being close to the fire, which he is providing. But if it's just light, right, and we know that if you turn the lights off in here and you had a nice Madura, you had a nice Havdalah candle, it would illuminate for feet away. So that doesn't create a chibur, that's not closeness. You're all the way over there, you're benefiting from my Havdalah candle. It shouldn't be any worse than somebody else who's benefiting from the same light with the Havdalah candle, and it wouldn't be a problem. Other areas of Chashash Negiah would be, you know, if you're standing and you're stuck in a rainstorm and all of a sudden it starts, you have one umbrella. So if you have a small umbrella, so maybe it's better for you to get wet than for you to violate the Isser of Negiah, Afilu Be'etzba Ketana, Shelo B'Derech Chibah. You know, if you have a golf umbrella and you're big enough, then you don't really have a problem.
But then you can't pass her to the umbrella.
Correct. You cannot pass her to the umbrella. Right? So if you have the umbrella, the situation, you know, use your seichel in terms of how to get around it.
So I still don't understand, why is it that with the Havdalah candle you just don't give the same answer as the Besamim, because they have the kids hold the candle?
You could do that, you know, fire safety.
What?
But
it's not
the same.
It
doesn't create the same sense of chibur. Right? Just because I'm holding a light, so you shouldn't be reading from the same candle. That is a halacha. You shouldn't be reading the same book. You know, the other contemporary, I guess, if you had a DVD player and you were both wanted to sit together, you'll know when it's too close. But light, you can be Nana. I can actually get Hanaf from where you're sitting over there. I could probably see it on my fingers from here. So it doesn't create the same sense of chibur, whereas smell, you really need to be closer. You know, Besamim aren't that fragrant to be able to be that close to the person. Right. So throwing something across the room doesn't create the sense of chibur, but it could create the sense of schok v'kalas rosh. You get to have a good time, and maybe it's not hoshata, maybe it's more schok v'kalas rosh that would apply there. The hoshata, I mean, understand that when we talk about hoshata, though, we're talking about an extrapolation from Rashi's minhag. It's not a chumra, it's not even a gzera. It's a minhag of Rashi. So,
but we still say use the word aser. We still use the word aser.
Right. Yeah. That's how we apply it. Any other questions on Hoshata or Negia before we move on?
I think this maybe came up something like this, but suppose a husband and wife, where the wife is a nida, were asked to be the kafir at risk.
Oh.
Asking someone else's baby. Like,
right.
A pillow and an item and water item.
So there is a shita that if there are two pillows, and the wife comes in holding both pillows underneath, and he comes in and he takes the top pillow and the baby, that wouldn't be a problem, because you're not really, the Chabar writes later on, that we're, the point is that you're not supposed to feel each other's movements. that comes in with regard to sitting on the same bench, which is not so prevalent anymore. You know, now the cars have separate seats, but it used to be more prevalent, more relevant to the Shaila. So if you're not feeling her holding the pillow from underneath, you're taking the second one, so you're not concerned about chashash negia because you're not touching the same thing that she's touching, and you're not going to feel her movements because you're taking the other pillow.
It's too obvious. I don't hold two pillows. Or they do that every time, just in case.
Well, now you'll know. Don't look so carefully.
How come in that case they're not concerned that you're going to insert your own hands too far into the pillow?
Well, you'll put your hands into the pillow, but the pillow is not the same pillow that your wife is holding. It's
I
a separate.
But
right, so normally,
not,
right, normally
like
you're not
this,
allowed to touch your wife's clothing, even though
say
she's.
That you don't, like,
so you'll do it carefully.
You could say that about anything, though.
Yes. Or, you know, if it's something that you're that concerned about, so you can say you can turn down the covet of being kvater. You know, people, you don't need to take it. It's not something you have to do.
I'm not saying it from that standpoint, but I'm just saying, I mean, the truth of the matter is you can make that distinction or just be careful about literally everything.
Correct. But that is a way that poskim have arrived at, you know, finding a way around it to make it mutter, to be a kvater. If Schwartz has any other suggestions on that. Yeah.
My focus, the Sfarim are very middle, with the same head that Rabbi Elisha quoted, the Rupa of the Maya, the Ashkenazi folks can make the point that Rabbi Elisha made a minute ago, which is, who says you have to be a kvater? Because in a world sometimes everyone gets so excited because it's a segula. Right? Oh, it's a segula.
Right.
Yeah, but segula, you know, the greatest one. Huh? Right, exactly. Right, you know, it's not happening right away. But the fact is, Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv and Rav Osner and Rav Kulitz were all particularly machmer, and they seem to take that. So Ashkenazim from Eretz Yisrael were very machmer. So Hovadya, on the other hand, says, "What do you mean? Of course you should be makel." And many of our Bim have given us the opportunity for people who otherwise will. You'll have to start explaining to Aunt Sadie, why you're not taking kvater if you're newly married and you're supposed to be trying to have children? And already maybe there's a room to be mako, and that's based on Rabbi Bavin and Tara Rabbis, which is what Rabbi Bavin is quoting. Where it's not a fee, it's not a fee.
Any other questions? Okay, so move on to the other things that were mentioned in Tanit Ve'Eliyahu. Achalimi, Shasaimi, he ate with me, he drank with me. So what does that mean? What does it mean that you're not allowed to eat together? So the Rambam in Isuri Bia tells us that it's only asur for a husband and wife to share the same plate or share the same cup, to same plate or the same bowl. The Rosh in Shabbos, Perek Aleph, Siman Lamed Beis, however, tells us that you can sit at the same table, but you can't share a tray that was meant for two people. It's meant for two. It's not if it's meant for two, then it's not indicative of intimacy, but if it's for one, then it would be a problem. And the Ravid, which is the way that we paskin, says you can't even sit at the same table without a shinoi. Right? So the Mechaber says shinoi. We call it, colloquially, we call it a heker. But it's not really a heker. It's not the same kind of shinoi. It's based on the shinoi that we have for milichix and fleishix. If I'm sitting at a table and you're sitting at a table and I have a deli sandwich and you're eating a slice of pizza, so we need to have some shinoi, some hefsik between us so that we shouldn't come to share our milichix and to mix the basar b'chalav together. So a placemat for that would work. But in our homes, if you normally eat with placemats at your lunch, at your dining room table or at your kitchen table, so a placemat wouldn't suffice as a heker. It has to be something that's completely different and noticeably different to remind you, again, to create this consciousness of the level of relationship that you're allowed to have with your wife at that time. So Marshall says that there are two isurim. Number one is that you can't eat from the same plate together unless you put it on your plate first. So if there's a serving plate, so most people don't eat off of a serving plate. But let's say Friday night, it's at the end of the meal, and you want to just take a little piece. You can't do that, because now that's your plate. She can't subsequently take another piece of, you know, the burnt piece of the kugel. Right? You want to take one off of one corner, and she wants to take it off the other. You're not allowed to share from the same plate. You'd have to put that burnt piece from the serving piece onto your own plate, and then you can eat it. However, things that, let's say butter, for example, things that are normally not shared, but put onto each other's food, that we don't require that you put it onto your plate and then put it onto your bread. You can take it directly from the butter knife onto your piece of challah or whatever it may be. Rav Moshe says that when a husband and wife share a dish, it creates a chibur. So this could come up if you're sharing a bowl of popcorn. You want to make sure that you have two bowls and that there's enough for each person, and then you move forward. Some people have the minhag not to keep the challah board on the table, but they'll put the challah into a special basket. So that basket becomes a kli for food. So you couldn't be able to share from the same, you wouldn't be able to take challah from the same basket before putting it on your plate or on your napkin, whatever you like to do with it. And this comes up, let's say on a Friday night, if the kids are already asleep, you have young children, or if there's nobody else at home anymore, and you're eating together, you need to be careful, how to make sure that you're not eating from the same plate. The Shulchan Aruch continues, Lo yochal ima al hashulchan ela im ken yeshem shinoi shehi shem davar mafsik ben kara shalah l'kara shalah. So it has to be something that separates. It's not a hefsek like a mechitza. It's something that's a little bit a hecker that we call. So what are the requirements of a hecker? How much time do we have? We go until. Okay. We'll go 10 more minutes. Wonderful. So it has to be something that's not usually there. So if you normally put your phone on the table so that it's not in your pocket and you're not distracted, so that wouldn't be a hecker because it's always there. It has to be something that's really different. It also has to be something that's significant. So if you just took off your wedding ring, or if your wife took off her wedding ring and you put it on the table, that's something that's small. You can easily overlook it. It doesn't really count as a shinoi, as a hecker. It has to be something big. So, it doesn't need to be something that publicizes to anybody who's passing by that I'm in need. You don't have to take a big can of, beans. It can be something smaller that doesn't usually go on the table. Leave it to everybody else, everybody's creative juices to figure out what works for you, but it should be placed in between the husband and the wife to be mafsik, that there should be something in between the two of them. Now, this is a harchaka that we waive in the presence of others. We said hoshata, passing from person to person, can be very embarrassing, but we're not mekil. We think that it's normal for a person to do that in public. But this is something that we waive if there are other people around. What does that mean, other people around? So normally we follow whatever the halacha of hilchos ichud. So if there's somebody above the age of 6 who would understand that if there was some romantic or intimate type of behavior or discussion going on, then they would understand it and they would tell somebody. So if you were inhibited by the presence of that person, so you wouldn't do it, that's the age at which a person's that the presence of somebody of that age would be mutter for you to have a meal without having a hecker on the table. So if you have children above the age of 6 who would normally join you for a meal, you don't need to have the hecker anymore. It also applies if you have guests over. You don't need to have a hecker. If you go out for a restaurant, just the two of you, you would need a hecker on the table, even if you're so close together that the people next to you can overhear your conversation. It's still the two of you at the table that you're sharing, and you would need to have a hecker in that situation. The third type of harchaka that applies to food, to dining, lo yishte mishiyure kos sheshasahi. So you're not allowed to drink from her leftover. Whatever she drinks, you can't drink the rest of a cup. Right? If she normally drinks half a cup and, at the end of the meal, she left over a little bit of iced tea or soda or whatever it is, or, delicious wine, and you hate to see it go to waste, you can't drink it because it's her leftovers and you're not allowed to drink that. The Ramah says, in lo shemafsik adam acher b'neihem. It's only if nobody else has taken a drink from that cup in between the time that she took it. So if your child takes a drink of the soda, and then you can drink from her cup because it's not exclusively hers anymore. Or you can pour it into something else. If it's poured into another cup, then you can also drink it. Or if you don't know that she drank it. So if you walk into the kitchen and you see a drink and you don't know if it's your child's or your wife's, so then you could drink the rest of that cup. Even if she doesn't have to tell you, oh, stop, I drank from that cup. There's no... Right, because we're talking about creating a sense of chibur. There's no sense of chibur if you don't know that it was her cup, that she was the one who drank from it.
That only applies for drinking, all the eating. You can benefit.
We'll get to eating, one step at a time. One second.
Who's actually drinking it? Meaning, if I don't know that she drank from it, but she's drinking from it, and if she drank from it, does it work?
So she's allowed to drink your leftovers, and she has no obligation to tell you that it was hers. So if she sees you drinking from it, and you weren't home when she took the drink before, she's not mechuyevus to tell you, stop, that was my cup, unless she wants to drink the rest of it, in which case she's entitled to. But she doesn't have to tell you that she took a drink. So the interesting, I once heard a shaila, let's say you share a car with your wife, and she leaves a water bottle. My wife always leaves water bottles in the car. She gets them at work for free, and so she'll just leave them around, and then one day you'll be on a trip, and hey, you know, somebody's thirsty, and we have 10 water bottles, you know, half full, and there's plenty of water for everybody. So if I know that she's the only one who drinks and leaves the water bottles, so am I allowed to drink from that water if I'm thirsty and she's not there? So it would seem that if, you know, the knowledge that she's the only person who drives the car and she's the only person who leaves it there, you know, it would seem to make it usher. However, the Ramah says that if she's not there anymore, then you can drink it. And so therefore, if she's next to me and I know that it's her water, then I wouldn't be able to drink it. But if I'm driving by myself, I dropped her off at work and I'm continuing on and I have now have 10 half-full bottles of water, I can drink all of them to my heart's desire because she's not there anymore. The Ramah says that it isn't only about drinking her leftovers. The Ramah adds that it's also about eating her leftovers. But it has to be her plate of food. So if you, let's say on Erev Shabbos, tonight you're going to taste a piece of the kugel, so that makes it yours, and so therefore, I have the entire kugel to myself, that's not your kugel, you're tasting a little bit, it's not considered yours. But if it's on her plate, and it refers to something that you would only eat the leftovers of because you're her husband, but the average person wouldn't take this piece of meat off of her plate because she's already taken a bite from it, that's already too close for comfort, that would be aser. But if she, let's say, took...
Can you switch plates?
What do you mean?
In that case, like, can you take it from her plate and put it onto a third?
No. It depends on what it is. If it's a half-eaten piece of chicken, so the leftovers, that it has to look like it was leftovers and not her piece, says Rav Moshe. It has to look like somebody else who's not her husband would eat it. Or if your kids took a second bite of it and they don't want it anymore, then you could eat it because it's not exclusively hers. But let's say she took two slices of meat, right? And she only ate one of them because she had chicken instead. So the other piece of meat is delicious. It's fine. She didn't touch it. So that would be considered leftovers. You could take, you could put that back and you'd be able to eat it afterwards. But if it's something like, chicken bones, if you enjoy sucking, or the chulin bones, with the marrow, and you enjoy sucking the marrow, so you wouldn't be able to do that because that's really something that's, most people don't share marrow bones together unless they're in a very close relationship. And again, it only goes in one direction, close relationships in a family. Again, it only applies in one direction, because of the Gemara that we cited before, the Tana Dvei Elio, she said that he drank with me, he ate with me, I can have his leftovers, he can't have my leftovers. Sorry?
I said she can have his, but he can't.
Correct. And then the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Kashem Shasura Limzogla, Kachu Asura Limzogla. So just like she's not allowed to prepare a cup for him to drink, right? She's not allowed to give him a drink. He also can't give her a drink or prepare one for her. Velo od alafilu lishloach lakos shel yayin aser. You can't even send to her. Meaning, naniach, I can't pass it to her directly, but I can say, Mark, would you go ahead and give this to my wife? You can pass something. That's totally fine. But when it comes to a koshel bracha, there's something special. Right? We don't take the chashivas of a koshel bracha so seriously anymore, but it used to be, right, that's why we bench on a koshel bracha, because there is some significance. So if you're giving her from the koshel bracha, that's very special. And this is her cup. So it has her name on it, or your miyuchad, this cup for her, that has significance. So this comes up by Kiddush. If you shouldn't say, okay, this is for my wife. So if it's, you're just pouring a lot of cups, and by the one that gets to her, wonderful. It's not miyuchad for her, but let's say it's just the two of you, so you can put it down. Don't put it near her. Don't even put it in her direction. Just put it down. Again, she's allowed to drink your leftovers. So if you just put it in front of your place, she can come and take it, and she's allowed to drink from your koshel bracha. In terms of serving food, the Shach points out...
If she can take your leftovers, what difference does it make if you place it towards her?
Because that's already sending it towards her. But you're not allowed to give her a drink. So once you're placing it towards her, you're showing her that this is for you. Even if you don't say it in as many words. The Shach points out, Achal imi, right, in Tana Dvei Elio, you're also not allowed to serve. Because another gear says that it wasn't that he ate, but that he also gave her a pitcher of water. So part of that could be Chashash Negia, part of it is that, this Hergel Avera. So you shouldn't present, right, normally we don't have the Chassidish Rebbe's, I heard one Rebbe was visiting from Eretz Yisrael, and in his rider of his contract, so to speak, he specifies that he will not, that his plate has to be set up entirely and presented at his setting. He will not take as people pass food around. So that kind of situation, you wouldn't be able to present a fully plated meal to your wife or she to you. But if it's something that passed around, she can put the serving piece in front of you because it's not yours in particular. You're just taking from it. It does come up, I guess, more regularly if it's a pretty dessert. You know, and everybody gets the same plate, so she shouldn't put the dessert plate right in front of you. She should put a little bit off to the side. One more minute. Yashanima Bakir Basar. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that they're not allowed to be in the same. Obviously, we don't sleep in the same beds, even if you're clothed, because you know it's just not. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, and I feel the Ramah says Yesh Lachalechem Matzav Bifnei Atzmo. Even if you have your own bed, you have your own sheets in it, and you're not touching. Point is the beds aren't supposed to touch. So how much distance do we need? So some are makbid to always have a nightstand. Apparently Rav Schechter understood it that way. That everybody has a nightstand in between the bed. Not everybody has that. So how much are we talking about? So there's some sheets that say that it's supposed to be far enough that if you rolled over, right, in your sleep, you move around, it should be far enough that you wouldn't end up on the other person's bed. Others say if the bedding isn't touching, so that's usually enough. It creates enough of a distance that it wouldn't be a problem. And then finally, the Mechaber says, "Lo yishev b'mitam yuchedas la'afilu shelo b'fanah." You're not allowed to sit on her bed that's set aside for her. And this applies even if she's not there. She has to be out of the city in order for you to be able to sit on it. Whereas in your bed, she's able to be on your bed as long as you're not present. It's okay. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for my pleasure.